Well, good morning. Everyone awake? Yeah, getting there. There's more caffeine out there probably if you need some more to help you wake up. So my name is Chad, and I drove in with Jeff this morning from Augusta, just right down the road. I grew up in Oklahoma, went to college in Texas, stayed in Texas. I work in Georgia, and we live in South Carolina. So you can just know that I'm a part of you. I live in South Carolina, in North Augusta. And Chris called me a few weeks ago and asked me if I would come, and I said, absolutely, I've been wanting to make it here anyways. And so this was a perfect time to do that. So I had the privilege of sharing the word with you this morning. And before we jump into that, let's pray. God, we welcome you. God, we know that you are already here. Holy Spirit, would you come and just have your way in our lives this morning, in this time that we have together. God, I pray that we would encounter you this morning, that we would experience you, that we would lean into you this morning in whatever you stir up in our hearts and our lives, whatever you're doing with each individual. Well, I just pray that you would continue to do that today. God, may we hear your word, may we respond to your word today, may we experience your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I wish Mike would have face-planted, because that would have made a really good segue into my sermon this morning. I'm glad you're okay, but it would have been a really good illustration. Thank you. It wouldn't be as good if you did it on purpose. So if you have a Bible, feel free to turn to Genesis 1. I believe the scripture will be on the screen behind me. And if you grew up in church, it will be something that you've probably heard a little bit before. If not, we'll catch you up to speed as we kind of go through today. But it's a familiar passage, and I think it very much applies to us as individuals, the church as a whole, and even here, Lakeside, Lexington, and who God desires you to be. And so we're going to start with verse 22, and we'll read several verses through 31. Excuse me, I'll probably be coughing quite a bit. I had no voice yesterday, so I'm talking today. That's good. So starting with verse 22 says this: "The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children across the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." So if you're just hearing this story for the first time, it can sound a little odd. Okay, this wrestling with this man, I'm not going to let you stop until you bless me. What is up with this? So I grew up in Oklahoma. I was a big fan of wrestling when I was little. WWF style, Hulk Hogan. Yes, that was my man. I even collected some of his cards. And it was not out of the ordinary to drive down our neighborhood road to find ropes. We had four trees almost, in a perfect square when you put rope around it. And so it was not out of the ordinary to find about four of us within those ropes doing pile drives with each other in the neighborhood. And I absolutely loved wrestling. That's what we would do, is we would wrestle for fun. I'd want to always wrestle with my dad. And loved wrestling. And it's really interesting when you read this story talking about wrestling with God. And that's really what I kind of want to talk for the next few moments about is this idea of walking with a limp. This idea of walking with a limp. And it's interesting when you read this story and Jacob is wrestling with God. It's an interesting story. And if you think about this idea of wrestling with God, what was the point of this wrestling? Okay, there's all kinds of ideas around this story and interpretations of the story and what this really means. But I think there's some truths in the story that God has for all of us because we all have a limp. We all have things that we wrestle with. We all have things in life. And so my question to you this morning is, what if your limp, being the broken areas of your life, the thing, your imperfections, the things that that oftentimes we try to hold down, what if God desires to use those in your life rather than for you to hide those things in your life? What if there's a good place in your life that God has for you to use even those moments in your life that many times we try to push down and suppress and do away with? So Jacob was wrestling with God. And if you think about wrestling with God, there's really no chance for you to win. Okay? Think about you being Jacob in that moment. There's really nothing that you can do, right, to pile drive God. God's got it. And it's interesting that he let Jacob wrestle with him for that long. It's almost as if God was toying with Jacob and says, okay, you know, kind of like with me, I have 3 kids, 2 boys, and they love to wrestle. It's kind of like, you know, in those moments where you make them think that they're really holding you down, they're really pinning you down. All the while, at any moment, I can just hold them down with a hand. Be like, okay, are you done yet? Are you done yet? And while they're cricking, no, I'm not done now. I'm going to take you down. Okay, you know, I'll let you do it for a couple more minutes. So it's as if God was almost toying with Jacob, because the reality is God could have broke Jacob in half. Not just with his arms, not with his hands, but with a thought, with a word. He absolutely could have destroyed Jacob. The reality is Jacob wasn't keeping up with what God was doing, with God's strength. He wasn't any competition for God. He could have taken Jacob out in a moment. And it's interesting that he touched Jacob's hip, not necessarily to show how powerful he was, but to show him his wounding power. To show Jacob his wounding power. So what does the word Jacob mean? Okay, this is an interesting word. So the meaning of the word Jacob means a manipulator. How'd you like to have that name? I'm sorry if your name is Jacob, by the way. Manipulator, supplanter. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, your mom looking over the crib, you crying, screaming, throwing a fit. Yeah, he's a Jacob. You know, he's going to manipulate me. I can see it. But his life really looked this way. If you look at, if you know anything about Jacob's life, okay, it starts off in Genesis, a very broken situation where he steals from his brother, he cheats his blind dad, he steals from his father-in-law, he marries 2 sisters, he was in trouble, his life was a mess. His life was a mess. In fact, if you read his story up till now, you keep thinking that something's going to happen where God's going to take him out up to this point in the story. Perhaps it was Jacob's brokenness that led him to wrestle with God in the beginning. So when the story is over, Jacob walks away limping. He doesn't walk away the same man that he came. He walked away limping into marriage problems. He limped away into a brother across the river that's still planning to kill him. He's going to take him out. He's limping away into a dad that probably hates him. He is deeply concerned about his future. The reality is his life has been a mess, and there's no guarantees of what his life is going to look like beyond this. And he walks away with a limp. He didn't wrestle with God and win, because you don't do that, but he did endure his time with God. So if you think about this story in terms of your own life, you know, every one of us in here this morning are limping. We all have something that we're carrying, something that we're wrestling with. We're all living life while daily facing the reality of our own brokenness. Think about those things that you carry. Think about those things that you walked in here with this morning. Think about those things that are going on in your life this week that's frustrating, whether that's marriage, finances, health, addiction, whatever that is. We all have stuff in our life that we carry. You know, wholeness and healing is something that I believe in. I believe that God brings healing to our life. I believe that God, we just finished a series in Augusta on Thrive, and it talks about that God comes to bring life and life to the full, life eternal. There is abundant living. There is goodness when we serve the Lord, but sometimes it might look different than what we think. I believe God brings wholeness and healing. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For our sake he made us to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness and right standing with God." But wholeness in Christ must be understood through the understanding of self-brokenness. Okay, so we don't earn our way into wholeness. We don't run into wholeness. We don't achieve wholeness. We don't have enough letters behind our name to have wholeness. We don't become a minister so we can be whole. We don't do the right thing. We don't lean into legalism or always being perfect to earn wholeness. Wholeness only comes to you and I because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Nothing that you did. Nothing that you can earn. Nothing that you can... There's nothing that you have avoided in your life to bring you to the point of perfection in him. It's only because of Jesus Christ. So we are more than conquerors, everyone in here, but sometimes it demands us that we endure the night. And sometimes it's about winning, sometimes it's not about winning, but just withstanding. Sometimes if I think about the story with Jacob, sometimes in my life, I feel like I'm doing good just to make it through another day, honestly speaking. Sometimes it's understanding who God is in the middle of what I'm going through, not necessarily avoiding what I'm going through or escaping what I'm going through. So there's a few things about limping here this morning that I want to mention to you. Number one is your limp doesn't invalidate your process of becoming more like Jesus. Your limp doesn't invalidate your process of becoming more like Jesus. There's this word in the Bible called sanctification. It means that as long as you are breathing, as long as you are on this earth, God is always shaping and forming and transforming who he has called you to be. That process never ends. It doesn't end after you say, "Yes, I accept you, Christ, in my life." It doesn't end when you get 10 years under your belt in terms of walking with Christ. It doesn't end when you become 85 years old or 90 years old. The process always continues. And all the while, you carry your limp. Whether that's inflicted by others, things that have been done to you, or things that you have chosen to do in your life that has caused your limp, it does not invalidate the fact that God is continually transforming you, who he wants you to be. And that doesn't mean avoiding your limp. It means embracing your limp and actually him using your brokenness in your life to make you who he wants you to be. It neither invalidates us from walking with Jesus. Okay, the second thing is your limp is precious to Jesus. It not only does not cancel your relationship with Jesus, it's precious to Jesus. You know, the reality, we've all experienced pain in our lives. God knows your childhood. He knows your life. He knows the pain of your teenage years. He knows the mistakes of your past. He knows your shortcomings. He knows the disappointments of your adulthood. God not only knows it, but it is precious to him. Regardless of your pain type, your pain is never unnoticed by God. God is present. God is present. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 46, chapter 46. And it says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of need. He is your refuge and strength. And ever, he is always present. No matter where you're at today, God is present. No matter what you're going through, God is present. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God is present, and he accepts you, and he loves you exactly where you're at today. Don't let the pain of yesterday be used as an enemy's tactic to cancel who you are in Christ today. He is always present. He is always a help. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all. God cares about you. God cares about the people around you. Will we answer to sin one day? Absolutely we will. Absolutely. But does he meet us exactly where we're at and he love us in the process? Absolutely he does. You know, there was a friend of my Uncle David. David lives in Texas, Wichita Falls, Texas. And he shared a story with me several years ago about a guy that attended their church that had AIDS. And the guy lived a lifestyle before he came to know Jesus and contracted AIDS. And he later gave his heart to Christ and lived many, many years beyond that. But medicines and things have changed even today since then, and there was no guarantee that he would live. In fact, he knew he would probably die at that time. So he became a follower of Jesus after getting AIDS and became a wholehearted follower of Jesus. He attended church. Not only did he attend church, he served in church in any area that he could. And his walk was genuine. And his faith was real. In fact, he really made an impact on people in that church. He wasn't seen as an outsider. I loved listening to the story when my Uncle David would tell me because he was very much accepted and loved and embraced to the point of whenever he died, there was just people were devastated because he impacted their lives so much. But, you know, as much as people loved him, there's always people who struggle. There's always people who struggle with sin types, what people have done in their lives, in their past. And we many times think it's our role to judge them. But I can guarantee you, God wasn't saying whenever he passed, he did later pass. God wasn't saying, well, you know what? He got what he deserved. He got what he deserved. He had it coming to him. In fact, God's heart is he weeps over those who rebel against him. Even in our sin, God loves us. Even in our brokenness, even with our limp, God accepts you and I exactly where we're at. Those limps of the people that rub shoulders with you every day, God loves them just like he loves you. God pursues them just like he pursued you. God meets us exactly where we're at, and may he also give us the same heart. He is our loving Father waiting with open arms, just like the prodigal son in the Bible. He's waiting with open arms. He's looking. He's not rejoicing that you're getting what you deserved. He's always waiting for the day for us to put our hope in him. Number three, your limp doesn't stop you from moving. Jacob was limping, but he was moving. You know, the reality is God values our progress in life. How easy is it many times to beat ourselves up because we're not who we think God wants us to be? God always is transforming and changing, but God loves us exactly where we're at. You know, there's a term in the recovery world and many other circles that says this: it's progress, not perfection. It's progress, not perfection. God delights in your progress. You know, I mentioned I had three kids. My middle son, his name is Mathen. And Mathen, he is 5 years old, and he had a stroke in the womb. And my wife had an emergency appendectomy 8.5 months pregnant. And they're pretty sure that that's what caused it. And so he had a stroke in the womb. And Mathen is one of the most determined kids that you'll ever meet in your life. You will not tell Mathen he cannot do something. And because he'll prove you wrong. And Mathen, the way it's kind of translated in his life is he's a hemi. He's got elevated tone in the right side of his body. So he does this a lot. He very rarely uses this hand. You have to tell him to use it. And when he does, he kind of opens it like this and grasps things with his palm rather than his fingers. And then he walks on his right toes, on his right foot. He can put it down, but you have to tell him to put it down. And so when we found this out, when we discovered this, it wasn't until a few months after he was born. And so there's a rating system when it comes to this type of diagnosis and the level of trauma that he had in terms of the stroke. It's a 1 to 4, 4 being the greatest. Mathen had a 4. And so it was the highest bleed out on the brain. So because of that, there was a lot of unknowns. They couldn't tell us exactly the effects of the stroke on Mathen when we found out. So it was kind of one of these, we'll know over time, okay? So whenever he's, when he wants to crawl, we'll see if he can crawl. What, you know, when it's time to walk, we'll see if he can walk. When it's time to learn, we'll see what he learns. When it's time to read, we'll see if he can read. And so it was one of these things that we just continually surrendered to God. Every day, we just place them in your hands, God. And it was difficult at times. And we valued his progress as we saw him get older. You know, we didn't harp on the things that Mathen could not do, but rather celebrate the things that Mathen could do. You know, rather than crawl, Mathen scooted on his butt. He'd get on the floor and he would just scoot. And he was the best scooter. His walking was a little delayed, but normal in the range. And I tell you, we didn't celebrate those times where Mathen fell. As a father who loves his son, at the end of the day, I didn't say, yeah, Mathen fell 47 times today. No, what did I do? The time he took that first step, yeah, it's like the 47 times didn't matter. The fact that Mathen took one step. I mean, we're calling people. We're getting on Skype with my parents. We're showing them and say, look, Mathen is walking. Mathen is walking. They're not saying, yeah, well, but what about those 47 times today? We don't look at those. We look at that one time, and we're like, yeah, Mathen is walking. That's my boy. That's my son. He learned to ride a bike. He's 5. He's been riding a bike for about 6 months without training wheels. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. The day that he asked me to take off, he'd been begging me to take off his training wheels. I'm like, son, you're just... We kind of live on a hill. Our driveway is on a hill. And as daring as he is, I can just see him face planting, almost like Mike did today. But he had been begging me. And so finally one day, I'll take off the training wheels. Within 30 minutes, he's pedaling all over the place. He's pedaling all over the place. Kind of hard for him to keep his foot on the pedal as fast as he wants to go. But I'm out there just celebrating who Mathen is, and celebrating the victories that he's achieving. Why? Because I valued his progress. I'm not concerned about the things that math and can't do. God's not concerned about how many times you fail this week. Yes, does he desire for us to fall less? Absolutely. And that comes one day at a time. But God celebrates that first step. He celebrates the next step. He celebrates when we learn to get on a bike. He celebrates when we learn to take off the training wheels. He celebrates in those times where we learn to be honest with ourselves. He celebrates at those times when we're real and we're transparent and we confess our sins to another. He celebrates those times when we worship him privately. He celebrates who you are in him. Where this idea that we ever think that we can do, we can approach God and do what we did this morning because of who we are, it's just completely not biblical. It's because of who Jesus is. We all have a limp, and we bring that limp when we're together on a Sunday morning. And we say, God, I worship you not out of my perfection this week, but I worship you specifically only because of who you are. Because if it's not because of you, I wouldn't be here. God loves you, and he celebrates your progress. He values progress. You know, he knows the truth about our lives more than we do. You know, I don't have time to go into it, but there was a man in the Bible named David. He was a king. God tagged him very early on, says, this boy has a heart like after me, so I'm going to make him king. Fast forward many, many years, he has an affair. He sees a woman. He's out on the roof doing, and he pursues this woman. She ends up pregnant. He tries to cover it up by getting her husband to sleep with her. That doesn't work out, so he just kills her husband. Okay, so all of the things that he did. And David is a really good example of what it means to bring who we are, our limp and all, to God. Psalm 51, it's a psalm that he wrote following his adultery with Bathsheba. It's a great picture of what it looks like to limp towards God. It says this, verses 16 and 17, "For you will not delight in the sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Okay, so it's not sacrifice. It's not me doing something. It's not me earning my way. But simply, God, you desire a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God, you will not despise that. When we bring ourselves to God, our whole heart, transparently to God, when we bring our stuff, our limp, God meets us exactly where we're at. David wasn't just wanting forgiveness, he wants intimacy. And more so, God desires intimacy, even when we make mistakes. So this is what it's like to limp towards God. As coming towards God, not out of perfection, but bringing our stuff to him. What does it look like to limp towards God? You know, I believe in transparency. I believe in accountability. And many times I feel like we miss it as the church because it's this stuff that we don't talk about. And it's this stuff that the world is looking for. The world doesn't need our perfection. They don't need us to tell them how good we are and how bad they are. The world needs us to model our limp. The world needs us to be readily available to talk about our limp and to continue confessing our limp. That when we limp, they see us limping in our brokenness to obedience and honesty and transparency and submission and forgiveness, where we limp, where we run to God only because of who he is. You know, and last, wrestling with God brings us new identity. You know, the reality is Jacob walked away a changed man after wrestling with God. You know, the Bible says that God changed his name from Jacob, which is manipulator, to Israel, which means he strives with God. He strives with God. Jacob walked away with a new identity. In fact, Jacob had some hard things in front of him. He didn't walk away and everything was going to be perfect. There was no promise that his life and relationships would all prosper. But something happened during his time of wrestling as Jacob saw God. He saw God. As you wrestle with God, God changes who you are. Think about that time in your life, that really vulnerable time, that area in your life that you never wanted to face, and God allowed you to face it, and how it changed who you are today. We all have those stories of change in our life, and God's continually wanting us to recognize those areas in our life. You know, there's a lot of theories about what a church should be like. There's a lot of conferences. You know, if you just do this, if you just follow this pattern or do this trend or look this way or have things, have worship look this way or have your signs look this way or shake a hand this way. If you just do this and you follow these 10 steps, you're going to grow. And those are realities, okay? So we're called Lexington. We're going to call ourselves Lakeside. Who does God want us to be? But through the ins and outs of all the things that we have to do, the programs, the handshakes, the coffee, the worship, all of those things that are good, Lexington doesn't need another church to tell people who they're not. It needs a limping church. It needs a church that embraces who God has called them to be. People outside this door, they want to see Jesus. They don't want to see flash. They don't want to see another fly-by-night. They don't want to see legalism. They want to see real. They want to see people who visibly walk with a limp, because it's that limp that relates to them. And you have the good news of sharing Jesus. Hey, look, yeah, I have a limp, but let me tell you who I've encountered. I walked in this way, I met him, and I left a changed person. You can too. If you'll come. So you might be here, and as I'm talking this morning, you might think, man, I've got something in my life that I'm really wrestling with, and I'm wanting to avoid it. Like, I'm not wanting to submit this to God. I'm wanting to hide it. Maybe it's years worth of something. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's legalism. Maybe you've tried to do it on your own. Maybe you think if you just work hard enough, these things will go away and God will accept you. Maybe it's unresolved anger. Maybe it's an addiction. Or maybe you don't know God. Maybe talking about wrestling with this God means nothing that you can relate with because you don't know him. So this morning we want to invite you to get to know him this morning. God loves you exactly where you're at, and he's celebrating who you are. God loves you. Regardless of what you bring, he's big enough to take it. He's big enough to take it. So what we're going to do is let's all stand this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to have people down here that is willing to pray with you, that desires to pray with you. Maybe it's something we talked about this morning. Maybe it's something completely different, and you just like prayer. It doesn't matter what it is. We'd love to invite you down here. We want to pray with you this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer of dismissal. We'll have some worship and prayer as you exit. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Like I said, if you want prayer, come on down. So Lord, thank you.